Let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer today to give the opening prayer? How did I know that was going to happen? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Please bow your heads. Lord, we are meeting today to conduct matters of business. Guide our hearts and our minds in the spirit of fairness, right thought, and speech. Impart your supreme wisdom upon our activities so that our affairs may reach a successful conclusion. Thank you for being our source of guidance today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, if you'll join me in our pledges to our American and Texas flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present with the exception of Commissioner Nowak. Commissioners need a motion to approve our Commissioner's Court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Under proclamations and resolutions, power up at your library. Ms. Williams.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
Morning.
We'd like to share with you a special celebration of technology and creative efforts. I have some documents with regard to plans this week. Our resolution reads, whereas Texas libraries serve the people of the state and help support the incredible innovation and creativity that is a natural Texas asset. And whereas Texas school, public, and university libraries serve millions of Texans and promote learning, business, entrepreneurship, innovation, workforce development, and much more. And whereas the Montgomery County Memorial Library System strives to transform the lives of those it serves in positive ways. And whereas libraries are places where the creation and cultivation of ideas happen and where people are encouraged to make big dreams a reality. And whereas libraries are resources for economic vitality and education in today's ever-changing, fast-paced digital environment. Therefore, be it resolved that the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court proclaims September 15, 2016 as Power Up at Your Library Day and encourages all residents to visit the library and participate by exploring a personal area of interest and innovation.
I move. Second.
All in favor?
And we do invite you to visit a local branch. There are multiple activities as profiled. Everything from, we have a hip to stitch class tonight at the Central Library, to job searching skills and some training at a couple of different locations, and also teens who are doing some makerspace activities, creating little free libraries to share in the community. So we encourage you to participate.
Thanks, William. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, under Employees Committee, we need to hold off. We'll defer that until later in the agenda, Commissioners, if that's all right. Under County Clerk, we need to consider and approve a Commissioner's Court minutes from our regular session dated August 23rd.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And we also need to approve our Commissioner's Court's minutes from our regular session dated August 31st.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, I have no changes on the consent agenda and would entertain a motion to approve that unless you have changes you'd like to see brought forward.
Move. I move on consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we're in our citizens portion of the agenda, and this is a time for citizens that would like to address the court on an item that's on today's agenda. I'll read this brief statement. We will now invite the public for comments on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comments at this time. I only have one person that signed up, I think, with an item on the agenda right now, and that's John Elliott. Mr. Elliott.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Commissioners. Again, my name is John Elliott. I live in Commissioner Nowak's precinct. My topic today is the animal shelter and specifically the budget. On the item here in today's agenda, we're looking at overlapping some of the unspent funds from 2016 into 2017. On the surface, I'd say it's a no-brainer. Obviously, we need to do something like that. But yet, I've got some questions. And the questions really are the fact that we hear about the shelter being underfunded. We hear about concerns about medication. We hear that we can't get T-shirts to identify the staff. We can't get spays and neuters. Yet it seems we've got money left over to roll into 2017. So I have to ask the question, why? Listening to the last commissioner's court, we hear that we've had some problems hiring vets, and primarily because of all the noise and problems associated with some of the bad press that the animal shelter is getting. I would say, in addition to that, I would question the current leadership of the shelter. It seems to me like people who were qualified, who had proper connections, could reach out to those connections and bring in colleagues to at least help out on a temporary basis. Yet that's not being done. At least I don't see it being done. Whether it's being ineffective or just plain lazy, I don't know. But when we consider these things, my mother taught me that when you're pointing the finger at other people, you've got three that are pointing back at yourself. And I think we have to be cautious of that. We're also hearing a lot of statistics about the animal shelter. We're hearing about how much money we spend, dollars per animal, dollars per capita, total dollars spent. But I've got some fundamental questions about that. You know, gentlemen, I'll beg you to ask some questions. For example, the most fundamental question I've got is, where is the facility? Where is the maintenance of that facility? Is that part of the animal shelter budget? I don't have a clear answer. I think I know what the answer is, and the answer is no. So when we're comparing these things, are we comparing apples to apples, or are we comparing apples to lemons? When statistics are thrown out like that, I'm questioning whether those shelters that have these high costs, do they also have free utilities? Do they have free facilities given to them? Is that part of their budget or not? And so I ask you, be sure that we're comparing apples to apples. Make sure that you've asked some questions. Finally, I want to give a big thank you, and unfortunately, Commissioner Nowak is not here, but Commissioner Riley, yourself, and Judge Doyle. I watched the streaming last week. I listened to it. I think you had a very intelligent discussion. I praise you for what you did, approving the $3.4 million budget, withholding $1 million based on performance. I thought was an excellent decision, an excellent discussion. I really want to point out something that may not be clear. The budget itself, there's a number of people who would agree with increasing the budget, would actually maybe even agree with it.
I'm sorry, I apologize, but your 3 minutes has expired.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court on an item that's on today's agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move forward. County Court Law Number 2. Judge.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Morning.
Good.
Thank you for allowing me to address you. This is just I hope will be a real quick thing. So one of my employees went on a travel for the county. She has submitted her request to be reimbursed. She has only requested to be reimbursed at her actual expenses, which is lower than this 51 per diem. Expense report was sent back with a request that we change our request and what I had approved for her, and so I'm asking you, I know y'all are reviewing this, and it was brought up right before budget hearings, so I know y'all have had a couple of things to do since then. but what I'm just asking very simply right now this morning is that y'all approve her to be reimbursed at her actual expenses because it's less, so I wouldn't see that there would be any problem with that.
I move. Did we approve that policy? That new policy about...
Yes, sir. The policy
not having
that
to do all the groundwork that you guys have to do.
Correct, to not keep up with the receipts. That's correct. And
we
so
did
you would
approve
have a daily rate, and on the travel days, it would be 75% of your daily rate. So, yes, sir, you have approved
and
that.
And we approve that.
And you're asking for a variance to that?
Well, I'm not even sure if I would call it a variance, honestly. I would say it would be the same difference. Let's say that I delayed in making a hotel reservation, and so the only hotel room that was available maybe was $400 a night. And then I said, you know, that was really my fault, and I'm not going to tag the county for $400. It's a $400 bill, but maybe I'm going to pay myself $250, and I'm just asking y'all for $100. I don't see any difference. I think, to me, the policy, and rightfully so, sets a ceiling on these expenses, so no one's coming in with anything ridiculous like the $400, you know, hotel room. And as far as the receipts and everything, we've taken care of that. We've got them in our office in case anyone does a public information request for this, so they've been retained. And I've done all the work, my staff has done the work in looking at it to go through that. So none of this has fallen on the shoulders of burdening the auditor, which I think is what the policy requires. So I guess I don't see it as a variance. Maybe y'all do. If it is, then yes, I'm asking for a variance. But I think y'all should always be able to pay less if less is requested.
Well, it's the policy. It's not necessarily. And I know, you know, the language sounds funny. It does. But if you look at the whole picture of it. You know, how many employees we got?
The county has about 2,300 employees.
I don't know how many expense reports they go through a year, but it's a tremendous amount of work for a few dollars difference. I mean, I know the language sounds weird, you know, but I certainly understand the meaning of the policy and the reason for it. And if we're going to do variances to this policy that we did pass, I think we're defeating the purpose of what we're doing here. Because even if you do a variance, you still have to do all of the due diligence and the audit trail. And that's what we're trying to eliminate, is all that extra work. And again, I know it sounds funny that we're going to pay somebody more money than they actually spent, but in the end, it's saving the county money, you know, basically. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Maybe I just misunderstood the policy. I thought we were paying up to no more than this, but I think anytime we pay what they actually spent is what we need to be
that's,
doing.
I think that's, it's kind that's of a matter just, of
principle. Well, if we're going to do that, we need to change the policy.
Well, we need to go back and look at the policy.
We don't need to do variances if we're... Yeah,
probably need to do that. In this particular case, we're looking at a request, though, for a variance. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any other questions or comments? I would agree. I mean, if an employee requests to be paid what they spent and not more, then I would certainly agree with that. So.
Thank you.
And just for the minutes to accurately reflect what's being requested, the request is not for what she actually spent. It's for what she spent on three of the four travel days. On one of those days, she's asking for less. It's being treated as a ceiling, which is one of the things y'all discussed, but I don't want the minutes to reflect actual because that's not what was requested.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm opposed. For the very reason that if we're going to do this, we need to rewrite the policy. And if we need to look at that maybe by next court or two. And if we're going to, I mean, it's no use in department heads having to come here and ask for a variance. If we're going to we're going to do that, we just need to change the verbiage in it, so.
You know, and one other thing, if when y'all, just in case, because I get busy in court, we do things over there in court. When y'all are considering this in the future, just as a department head, if y'all decide to keep this the same, if y'all decide to go forward with the same policy, because I've listened to the arguments and I understand there are two sides to this story, I would just say that procedurally, the way that it should be handled is if a department head approves something and it's sent over, if the auditor decides she wants to pay a different amount, then that's on her shoulders under the policy. I don't feel comfortable having it rejected and being told by the auditor, you are going to resubmit this at a different rate that you're going to sign. Because as the elected official, I don't feel comfortable doing that. So I just think as a matter of procedure, if it stays the same in the future, if she doesn't like it, then she just writes a higher check. You know, the all the figures were there to be able to do that calculation. Because I didn't feel... I felt like I was being put in a very bad position to sign off on something that I didn't think was, you know, appropriate for me to sign off on. So if y'all would just consider that, too. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Judge. All right. Motion passes 3-1. Next item, Lone Star Convention Center.
Hey, Ms. Terry.
Terry, how are
you? Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all? I am here because we're requesting a truck, so I'm needing a funding source for this new F-150 crew cab truck. Sorry, guys. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Terry.
Your backup just showed up there behind you.
How long have you been? You've been here longer than any of us.
Don't be nervous yet.
You know, I truly had a feeling about this.
You got some pretty good backup back
there. Okay, I'm here to get the funding source for the truck. I'm going to finish my business.
Well, I had talked with, I don't know, we need a motion and a second first.
Yeah, we have a motion. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
Yeah. Any discussion?
Talking with Phyllis, I think you guys brought in an excess in your revenue of 40-something thousand.
For Civic Center user fees, yes, sir.
Yeah, and it's not going to affect our budget process. Anyway, that's a funding source I think that we should use for this truck.
Great. Maybe we should have went
for
leather.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say? Maybe what?
Maybe we should have went for leather.
Now, wait a minute.
No. No.
Oh, well.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Before you step down.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This is the part we deferred a while ago. We have a presentation from employees committee. When Terry was scheduled to get her 35-year pin, she was recovering from some surgery. So we wanted to make a special presentation today. Terry began her career in 1980 at the Extension Office. She came to work at the County Judge's Office in 1994, and then moved out to the Convention Center in 2001. Terry, this is your 35-year pin of service to Montgomery County. So if you can survive 35 years at Montgomery County, you can survive.
I just want to thank her for the 16 years of wonderful service.
Terry, congratulations.
Thank you all very much. Thank you for the truck, gentlemen.
Okay. See.
That other one had 200 and something thousand miles on it. It blew up.
Constable Precinct 3, Constable Gable. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Constable.
I'd like to ask that the court consider and approve a 9-year sergeant position. The sergeant be utilized by Commissioner Precinct 3 and fully funded from line 614.7598 each fiscal year beginning fiscal year 2017.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
Conroe North Houston Regional Airport, Mr. Smith.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Morning, Scott.
Consider and if appropriate approve the carryover of the remaining fiscal year 2016 funds in 6291-7573. That was the acquisition of the aircraft rescue and firefighting vehicle and its equipment to carry over to that same account for fiscal year 2017. The amount is $76,121.60 for additional equipment throughout the year for the truck. There's a list of items we received from the guys at the Fire Marshal Investigator's Office that run that truck and are trained. And if this is approved, expenditures from that would continue to run through my office because this would remain in the airport budget. So we can process that appropriately with if you approve that.
I move.
Second.
Yeah, it's a valuable piece of equipment, and it's moved our airport to another level, as a lot of things have done over the past 5 or 6 years since Scott came. But one bit of information, our customs facility is open.
It is, Commissioner. It's opened Monday at 10 a.m., and our first arrival is actually scheduled tomorrow.
Even got a already got a first arrival coming in, so.
Good. Right.
Anyway, thank you, Scott.
Scott, when is the grand opening?
That open house grand opening is next Thursday, a week from this Thursday, the 22nd, at 10:30 a.m., and it'll be a two-hour open house.
Great. Looking forward to that. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Animal shelter.
Morning.
Hey, guys.
We have two agenda items today. I would ask that you consider and approve item A as written. That's to carry funds over from our medical professional service fee, so veterinarians that we didn't employ this year, to take care of the backlog of fostered and adopted animals that are unspayed or neutered, unaltered. So, and I'll also let you guys know, we've hired three veterinarians that will all be here by October 1. So, going forward, we won't have that problem of unspayed neutered animals leaving. We have a goal of November 1st of not no longer having an animal leave our building that's unaltered.
Is that just item A?
That's item A.
Okay, move.
Second.
So what? So one more time, what is this? What's this money going to be used for?
A spay and neuter program for animals that have already left our shelter that are unaltered.
How much money are we talking about?
So there's, and we won't know till the end of the fiscal year, and gotten with Phyllis. So we're looking at about $150,000, or at 160, that's 2,000 animals that we could spay and neuter if that cost is about $80. And we're going to have to get together and have a multimodal approach to get things spayed or neutered. And I say things, animals spayed or neutered. We're going to need, we have our shelter, Saturday and Sunday, our surgery facility is not being used, but we're going to have to fund it somehow to get a veterinarian, a tech in there, to spay and neuter, or we could do a voucher system in our county as well.
And this funding would get you to the point where all the animals that are out there would be, you kind of get caught up.
We're going to try to get caught up. Yeah, absolutely.
Caught up with the new vets after
October
1.
So we need to probably create a special line item that goes to that.
New vets.
Will it take all that, all of those dollars to do that?
Likely. We don't know exactly how many animals are. I mean, it's been privatized forever. We don't know how many animals are lost in the system. You know, that system's been consolidated a couple of times. So we know right now we have in our foster care 1,000 animals, and then we also have a ton that have been adopted on top of that. That's why it takes 6 months to get into spay and neuter right now. We'll reduce a bunch of that backlog with the vets we've hired, but we need to start making sure we've decreased the rest of the population.
So we're going to put this money in a special line item? Is that what we're going to do?
You do have a spay-neuter line in the animal shelter budget, and so if you'd like, we could put that into the spay-neuter line. Dr. Hayden's asking for it to go to professional services, which would give him some flexibility to do things like hire vets for the weekend, I believe is what he just said. I wouldn't recommend setting up a line item in your general ledger for 1 year, one-time expenses.
What about the money like we swept last time? Would this go in there with it?
I could put it there if you would like. That's not what the request is. The request is to be able to put it in a professional services line, but it could go in that line if that's what you want to do with it.
I would move that we put it in that line.
But would that limit it? How would you do that? Would he have to come here and request money every time he does a spay neuter?
The situation is, it might be some of it might be voucher, some of it might be a vet for a day. Vet comes in and, you know, does 25 spay and neuters. We don't know what kind of, which way it's going to go.
If you know he's going to be here in advance, you could do it that way.
We can do a detailed accounting and.
My thing is, I just want to make sure that it only goes to spay and neuter, and I think that public
That's
wants that, and you want that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right there, nowhere else.
Absolutely.
If we put it in professional services, is it going to go right there?
It will if we did it if we spay and neuter at our facility. But how do we do that at if we're going to use vouchers? We'll have to come back and ask for
a
way to do a voucher program.
Approach. It's just going to depend on.
So would you use that money out of a professional services line item to pay for vouchers?
We're going to have to find a way to do that. So I can't spend money. I don't think I can spend money at a local vet out of my professional service fee. I don't think I can. I don't know if that's true or not.
How would they do that?
I don't believe that we've paid vouchers at this point to other vets to spay and neuter animals in the county, so it's a process we would have to work through. I don't believe we have a process in place for that at this time.
We
but
do
as
that,
a vet, they
are
would
you talking
be a
about
professional.
Trying to get donated funds for that?
Well, it's going to be a two-pronged approach, but one thing is, you know, one vet may come along and say, hey, look, you know, Doc, I'd like to do 20 spay and neuters, I'll do them for $50 a piece. Y'all issue the vouchers, and you know, they would do that.
Bring them to their clinic.
Right, right, yeah. And then we might have a vet that could say, "Hey, look, I could come in Saturday and work all day, and I can do 20, you know, 20 spay and neuters that day."
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not. We're going to better utilize the money as we can, but you know, until we know we've got that money, we're not going to go out and start.
Yeah,
you know,
it's about earmarking the money we didn't use this year for spay and neuters to make sure they happen.
Stays there in the
So, and if it's at our place, we're going to have to hire technicians and a vet. If it's somebody else's place, we can pay them per animal.
Right. You have to have the support
so
staff there for a veterinarian. The other,
can
the
we
other
pay
thing
the other places like that? Can we
I
do
can't
that?
Imagine why we wouldn't. We pay engineers, lawyers, and other professionals. I don't know why a vet would be different.
For the same cost. It just, you know, same, you know, service. Some of it just may be voucher, and some of it may be
in-house.
It costs us about $80 per animal.
I've been approached by a lot of people that say, hey, I'd sponsor a spay neuter day, you know, so.
Yeah, we'd like to partner with that.
Yeah.
What's in the professional services line item for next year right now? Do we know?
I didn't bring that with me, Commissioner. I'm sorry.
So we're talking about moving this.
I can tell you, we've cut it to zero because we hired three vets to be on staff.
Yeah. We fill those positions. And what we're anticipating between 150 and
150 to 180 depends on what's left at the end of the year.
What we're talking about carrying forward.
And that's in that spay and neuter line item now?
Correct. It's in professional services.
It's in professional services right now.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Any other questions, Commissioners?
Do we have a motion?
Yeah, we have a motion in a second.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Judge, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the motion for where we were going to put the funds.
Professional services.
Okay.
So now I'll get with you to figure out how we go forward.
I want to make sure we regulate.
Absolutely.
That.
It's
good deal. So then item B, as you consider and approve that as written, that's about September, the funds we generated in September, getting to carry that into October and just making our budget continue to run. So those are fees that we're already generating this month. Instead of sweeping them into the general fund, allow us to use them.
That's dedicated to medical supplies, is that right?
Medical supplies, yes, sir.
We have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
Commissioners, while we're on the shelter, just real quickly, I know that we're out for a search, for a national search for a director. Before we hire that director, I'd like for this body to at least have an opportunity to interview that. JD, is there something we need to do special to set that up?
We probably need to put it on an agenda item.
Just notice it as an agenda item.
We can notice an agenda item.
But we'd like the court to have input in that.
Absolutely.
Hire.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be inappropriate for the court to have input on the new director.
Okay. When they get down to figuring out. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
We agree.
Just want to make sure we had that out there.
Good deal. Thank you,
Dr. Hayden, thank you.
Bet, thank you.
Purchasing.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Darling.
Good morning.
16A, take all appropriate action to approve the award for RFQ design build of North Montgomery County Recycling Facility to Fairweather Group, LLC, in the amount of $333,856.51 for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
B, take all appropriate action to approve granting our discretionary exemption for personal professional service as authorized by local government code 262.024A4 as stated on the agenda and all in one motion.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
C, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiation process with the highest evaluated respondent, Anderson Pollution Control, Inc., DBA, Horizon Environmental for RFP, hazardous and non-hazardous material handling, cleanup, disposal for various departments.
Move. Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. County Attorney, BD.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Item 17A, consider and take appropriate action on the petition for acceptance of a portion of Possum Trot Road into County Road Maintenance System upon defining a public use. The petition is on file. It's been signed by the appropriate people. We ask court to take notice of the facts there, determining public use, as well as a review of the plat showed that the original plat did dedicate the roads to the public. They just were not accepted by the county, so this is accepting a portion of those roads into the county road maintenance system.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene our public hearings, first in Precinct 1.
Consider and approve partial revision to lots 4 and 5, block 2 of the estates, to be known as the estates partial replat number 1. Do we have anyone here this morning to discuss this matter? I don't believe we do. Number 2, consider and approve order abandoning a portion of County Road right-of-way known as Old River Road. Do we have anybody here this morning to discuss this?
Yes, Commissioner. Mr. Creighton will be presenting the petition of Steve Jackson.
Okay. Step on up, Mark. We'll get to you in just a second, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a handout I was going to give you all about where we're going with this.
How you are?
Good. How are you this morning?
Thank you.
Just and we're not going to go through that whole thing. I want to try to be as brief as I can, but this road is at the very end of Old River Road where it goes through Walden and turns and goes through condos. We've been here before. Some adjoining owners, Mr. Jackson had an agreement from their father to take over this road, which he did and cleaned up. The man he had the agreement with, Dr. Wagner, passed away. His children inherited the property and they sued, and we've been through all the litigation. The first thing I'll show y'all, and we're trying, and through the litigation, all the adjoining parties, and I've attached to what you have the settlement agreement, the court order, the deed from the adjoining owners into Mr. Jackson. All the adjoining owners agreed to deed us the property, which they've done, and the deed's recorded. They agreed that we could come to the court and get it abandoned. And that is in the settlement and release agreement, which is in your packet. And the part that deals with the conveyance is under 3.1, where they agreed to deed us the property as part of the settlement. And then also under 3.7, they agreed that we could come to the court, get the roadway abandoned, and that upon abandonment, the county would give the property to Mr. Jackson. Also in there is the agreed final judgment, where the judge approved the settlement and ordered the same thing. I've got a copy of the deed that's been recorded from the adjoining owners, and I've got a copy of where Mr. Jackson paid them the settlement amount, and that's all in y'all's packets. When we appeared here last time, and I think Mr. Griffin is okay with us doing this, but the title companies insist that we get this road abandoned before we'll have good title to the property. And that's why we've made as a part of the settlement of the case that we would get the road abandoned through the court. And our petition is in y'all's packet, as well as the order that orders that the road be abandoned and awarded to Mr. Jackson. This court has done this before, and I've also attached the abandonment orders where the same road across the lake was not used anymore as a public road, and it was not in the maintenance program, and that's recited in the order. And there's two of them. There's one directly across the lake. There's another one that's, I think it's Strawberry Lane, and that's attached as well. So this has been done before. So what we're asking the court to do is just abandon the road. All the adjoining parties to the road have agreed to it. Now, yesterday, the spouse of one of the adjoining owners filed a contest and said he didn't agree with this. But it's our position he doesn't have any standing. The adjoining owners, there is a map attached to our motion, to the petition. And everybody, we've been through litigation, and they've sworn that a part of this property that adjoins us is owned by Wagner Bear Properties Limited, who have signed off on the settlement agreement, they've signed off on the deed, and they've signed off on the agreed judgment. The other portion is owned individually through inheritance by Burt Wagner and Nancy Barrow, who are the children of Clark Wagner, who passed away. They've agreed to all this. It's all in that packet. There is nobody, the condos on down the way, they've agreed to it. San Jacinto River Authority has joined in our petition, and they've signed off on it. So there's nobody in the area that is contesting what we're doing. And we're just asking the court to abandon that part of the roadway where Mr. Jackson can get it insured by a title company, and we can get rid of this litigation that's been going on for 3 or 4 years.
Been going on longer than that.
Yeah.
This is a little piece of property that's been hanging out for a long time, and I appreciate all the work that's been done. Mark, I think we, is Mr. Wagner here? Is that who this is?
That's Mr. Barrow. He is the spouse of Nancy Barrow, who is the owner that signed all these settlement papers and judgment and everything else.
Okay. Yes, sir?
Since 2002, I've hired Steve McLean, Randy Bays, Mark Creighton and his group, Dan Shank. I've spent $300,000 in attorney's fees. I've spent over $150,000 improving the end of the road. I've spent $77,000 paying off the Barrows Wagners. And if you look at it on a map, Google map, it is a very nice park. It's very clean, got a sandy beach, and it's a shame it's drug out this long.
Yeah, I know where it is. Okay. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
I believe Mr. J. Barrow
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm here, people think I don't have standing. I'm here because I'm the trustee for the Nancy Barrow Children's Trust, which was not named in that litigation that you have the packet. I'm also here without attorneys because this entire abandonment proceedings is a misrepresentation of the facts. I have the original survey for this property from 1980 that shows Clark Wagner owned the surface under the asphalt. And when Lake Conroe flooded, this property was a natural cove. Clark Wagner wanted it kept natural. He put riprap in. He did not want it bulkheaded. He did not want it filled in. And sometime in 2002, there was another thing is the county quit maintaining it. River Road makes a curve and the asphalt turns. So the county quit maintaining it sometime when the lake came in. So for 38 plus years, nobody's touched this piece of property. It was not an abandoned piece of property. Clark Wagner did not want to abandon his own property. As this survey shows, he owned the property. And in 2011, the commissioner's office for Precinct 1 was asked to abandon it by Nancy and Bert, and the commissioners or the precinct office refused to abandon it because they said the county does not own it, which proves Clark Wagner owned it by survey. He's always done it. Clark Wagner and his heirs have paid taxes on this property from the late 60s. And for someone to come in and say they cleaned it up and they spent a lot of money, nobody asked them to do that. Clark Wagner allegedly signed a assignment in 2002. He lived to 2010, 8 years, nothing was done. When Clark was dying, work started on this piece of property. Nancy and her brother protested. Sheriffs were called, trespassing charges were filed, and there's just no reason. It's just a complete misrepresentation of facts. Clark Wagner did not want to abandon this piece of property. And for the county to take the property through abandonment now is going to cause irreparable harm to the Children's Trust because it turns about 135 feet of waterfront property into dirtfront property. And there's just no reason for it. And that's why I'm here. I do believe I have standing as a trustee for the Children's Trust. I was not named in that suit.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I have plenty of documents if anyone else wants to see them.
And BD, the way I understand it, this has been to a district judge, it's been to a court, it's been settled. Everybody that has a dog in the hunt has agreed.
Essentially, Commissioner, a couple of points of clarification. The most recent petition prior to this was also presented by Mr. Jackson, I believe it was back in 2014, at which time the Wagner Barrow interest, the limited partnership, and the individual which Mr. Creighton identified did file a response, protested it. I informed the court that it was not part of the county maintenance system. Our county maintenance ends prior to this 0.10 or 0.01 acre tract, and this court denied the abandonment for whatever reasons, but ostensibly two reasons. One was the adjoining landowner at the time did object, and also it was not part of the county road maintenance system. When the court is presented with an issue such as this, the county's concern is really what are the effects upon both the adjoining landowner and any other landowner who uses the road as to whether they can, because the adjoining landowner has an absolute right to stop the abandonment. An adjoining landowner that doesn't adjoin but is down the road has a right to sue and recover damages if it lessens their property value. I've spoke with Mr. Barrow both by telephone and in personal meeting. When you look at, and after the petition was denied here, the county was joined in the lawsuit that Mr. Crichton mentioned. In that lawsuit, when we were sued in that lawsuit, we came back to Commissioner's Court and asked the court, because it was not part of the county road maintenance system, county had, and because of additionally not long use, that the county had not made a use of it, and it had never appeared on our county road log, that we have, that we file a disclaimer in the lawsuit. And the county, y'all approved the disclaimer. The disclaimer basically says, we don't claim any interest in this road or in this area that's being the subject of the lawsuit. So we filed the disclaimer. At some point later, the county was dismissed from that lawsuit, and the settlement was between the parties that were remaining, the Clark Barrow interest and Mr. Jackson. We did not sign off on the settlement agreement, though in reviewing the petition and very familiar with the lawsuit, I do believe that all the adjoining landowners did sign off in that settlement agreement. I have seen the deed and the petition that was filed, and I would agree with Mr. Crichton that all the adjoining landowners have signed off on it. There are no other landowners down the way. I've spoken to Mr. Barrow, a limited partner in a limited partnership does not own an interest in real estate. They own an interest in limited partnership. So from a real estate standpoint, there are no adjoining landowners or any landowners that are contesting this petition at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I don't know if y'all have any other questions.
No, I'm good.
I've got one question, BD. I mean, it was stated that they're asking us to abandon it, but it was also stated that we're asking us to abandon it and convey it. Do we have any rights to convey?
And we're not. To clarify, you know, our office position is that this procedure really doesn't do anything when it's not part of the county road maintenance system. The reason Mr. Jackson has come back is he's trying to satisfy a title company. I did hear about the settlement. I was brought into part, and what I told the parties is that notwithstanding that position, that we don't think it's really the role of the county under this particular abandonment procedure, because one, it's not part of the county road maintenance system, but additionally, we've already disclaimed it in the lawsuit.
Okay.
It wouldn't be necessary, but I told them if that's the last piece to the puzzle to get this resolved, we would not stand in the way of the parties. Everybody has an interest in it, deciding to settle it on their own. So that is why they've come back before you. It still is within your discretion. You can either do it or you cannot do it. My opinion would be whether you grant it or you don't grant it really has no effect, other than the title company would be more comfortable if you grant it.
It's been settled in court, so we're just satisfying a requirement of title insurance.
That's a pretty good way to say it, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, BD.
Anybody else to
discuss that issue? All right. Commissioner Riley.
Consider approved placing no parking signs on Clubhouse Circle. Anybody here to discuss this? Judge?
There are none. Precinct 4, Commissioner.
Consider approved establishing an all-way stop control at the Walker Road and Moorhead Road intersection. Is anyone here to discuss that?
See none. Okay, we now need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our Commissioner's Court. BD, do all of these items need action?
I believe they do, Your Honor.
Okay. Entertain a motion then.
I move on.
Excuse me, partial revision 18A, that would be under a separate item by the end of the year. If it's ready, I'm not sure. And that is on 19A. So you'll take action on that on 19A.
Say it again.
Say that what now?
You mean 18A?
No,
18A is the public hearing for the replat. You do not need to take, you will take action on that public hearing under agenda item 19A.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to take action on all matters that were before public hearing, you can do that and include agenda item 19A.
I move on 18A, 1-2, B-1, C-1, and 19A. Add to it. I move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 1, Commissioner Metter.
Thank y'all for coming this morning. We've already done 19A.
Yes.
20A1, consider, and if approved, authorize Commissioner Metter to sign interlocal agreement with the City of Conroe concerning the expansion of 2854 from Interstate Highway 45 to Loop 336. This is some matching funds that, it's a long story, it's part of the money that was Dyson Parkway. It goes back 7 or 8 years, money that we had committed to the city if we ever had the money to pay them back for it, and I think $850,000 of it is going to this 2854 project as a matching fund issue. I move.
Second.
Where's that funding to come from?
Huh?
Where does that funding come from?
It's part of the bond fund.
The bond fund, okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Precinct 2, Commissioner Riley.
BD's gonna take care of that.
Okay.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. On item 20B1, is consider and take appropriate action regarding adoption of an ordinance regulating hunting with a bow and arrow. Commissioner Riley had asked us to prepare a proposed ordinance with regard that prohibits or regulates hunting with bow and arrow in subdivisions. It only applies to subdivisions in the unincorporated areas of Montgomery County, and it applies to those subdivisions in which the lots are 10 acres or less. It is patterned upon the state statute, as well as it does mirror our firearms ordinance to a great extent, some slight changes in it that are peculiar to bow and arrow. It does not prohibit target practice within subdivisions. It is specifically designed to prohibit hunting within subdivisions.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
BD.
You're welcome.
Precinct 4.
Approve the travel payment requisition for Jennifer Hayden for the dates of travel March 2nd through June 1st. 2016 travel reimbursement request submitted to the auditor outside the 60 days. I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Our next citizens portion would concern those that would like to address the court on items that were not on today's agenda. I read the same comment. We will now invite public for comments on items not on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. And I do have one individual who signed up to speak today under this particular section, and that's Mr. Yollick.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Eric Yollick. I'm from Precinct 3. You know, it's not who you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know that decides how far you go in life. This past Sunday, on their request, I met with 5 county employees who contacted me through my email site, goldenhammermoco@gmail.com. They provided me with a wealth of information about Montgomery County's payroll. Turns out that the average legal secretary, administrative assistant, secretary, or paralegal who works in Montgomery County for any purpose, including private sector, makes about $26,000 to $32,000 in 2016. A manufacturing or construction operations manager makes about $54,000 on average in our community, and they perform field operations supervision, hiring, firing, process control, bidding, purchasing, contract issuance, and supervision of accounts payable and receivable. Our county government has many administrative assistants, But we have a few who easily beat those numbers of the averages, and I found one very, very special person. This person, as an administrative assistant, makes more than every single assistant district attorney in the DA's office. She makes more than Judge Jennifer Robin. She makes more than our chief of staff of Judge Doyle, Mr. Jim Fredericks. She makes almost twice the salary of the personal secretary to the President of the United States, who actually has a top secret clearance for security. She makes twice what the average executive assistant to chief executive officers of the Fortune 500 companies make. While she's an administrative assistant, unlike the other secretaries or admins who receive salaries as executive or managerial employees, this person gets paid $52.94 per hour as a non-exempt employee, so she can and does collect 240 overtime hours at time and a half per year under the county HR policy. She makes $110,411.66 base pay, plus she makes $19,058.40 overtime consistently every year, as a total of $129,470.06 as an administrative assistant. I want to congratulate Commissioner Mike Metter of Precinct 1 for his employment of Ms. Julie Puckett, the highest paid administrative assistant in Montgomery County, and quite frankly, the highest I've ever heard of. He gets this month's Golden Hammer Award. Thank you.
All right, is there anyone else that would like to address Commissioner's Court that did not sign up or did not understand the program? No? Okay.
Thank you, Judge.
Yes, ma'am.
Tracy Fincham. I'm in Commissioner O'Reilly's precinct. Good morning, everybody. Here on behalf of the shelter, I have Lori's giving out a file of information. I sent an email to everybody except Commissioner O'Reilly. I had your email wrong, so it bounced back, so I apologize. On September 1st, but I haven't heard from anybody, so I just wanted to make sure that you did get to see it. And then I also have photos that were included that were taken a week and a half ago in regards to the shelter walkthrough, because if you haven't looked at Facebook, then you haven't seen it, and I really think that you guys need to see what's happening behind closed doors if you're not going to be able to go down and visit. And then I have in there just some other things that I think are notable on behalf of the NCA shelter. So just real quick, 3 points from the email. I figured I'd just read a few of them. The never-ending story. A management team who clearly is unable to master a job description of how to take care of animals and instill a sense of urgency and honor with the employees working there. The lack of respect towards the volunteers, community, taxpayers, and yes, to the commissioners is beyond reproach. The treatment of animals and their living conditions is clearly animal abuse. By the way, which is now treated throughout the United States, people go to prison for. This is the third time to have a new opportunity for change. And you know what? It's great that we're getting three vets, Dr. Hayden. It's great that we have some help coming on the way, but it's not addressing what's happening every day right now. You know, we still have disrespect to the volunteers. We can't get in. You still have dogs that are in kennels that are unaltered together. Hello, puppies. You know, or abortion for the puppies that are going to get born by being put together. They're starving. Look at the photos. Please, please, please. And you know what? I wasn't going to do this, but I am. I implore petition and if need to get down on one knee and beg to get this done the right way, the professional way, the honest way, for the third time is a charm. That's the thing, though. In this, I've given recommendations from what I've learned in my career. And you guys are going to meet with the guy? Great. But please, take the staff that's there out of it, because there's too much bad blood. There just is. You can't really make decisions based upon that when you have different stories from different people. You know, I'm not a housewife. I'm a professional. I'm just not sitting behind a closed door and dilly-daddling and wearing jeans here. I work from home. But I do make a six-figure salary. And I do things all over the world. But this is my passion. God put me here. This is one of my callings. And I implore and I beg that you do the same. Let us get in there. Get the volunteers back to shelter. Let us go down and help clean. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to address court today on an item unrelated to the agenda?
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
My name is Jacqueline Beaton, and I am a resident in Commissioner Meader's precinct. I'm here today to talk about the animal shelter. I would again like to have it on record that there is still no improvement at the shelter, still no volunteer or foster programs, and still no orientations. So new volunteers are coming in and being told, grab a leash, go bathe a dog, no interaction, nothing. Volunteers are being told not to talk negatively about the shelter, or they will not be able to participate in any programs. The volunteer base continues to break because of this. There are still too many locked doors with healthy, adoptable animals mixed in with sick ones. Some are there for weeks unseen, no fresh air, no daylight, and no chance of getting out alive. They're not seen, they won't get out. Surgery is still 8 months out. Dates are being made for May. Vouchers should have been given out months ago. If there was money in the budget to do it, it should have been done. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unaltered animals out there now. I would like also to point out that for the first 5 months County took over, there was no director apart from 10 days of Dr. White, and the shelter ran better than it is now with a highly paid director and assistant director. I urge you to look at the overtime claimed since April the 6th. It is a huge strain on the budget. I also strongly suggest HR do an exit interviews. At least 20 staff members have been fired or resigned in the last 5 months. That is a huge overturn. Due to the constant learning curve, the shelter has no consistency, and that clearly shows. We all have a moral obligation to resolve this situation. I would urge the whole court to be in oversight of the shelter, at least until things get stabilised. As it is now, things are just not good enough. Our animals of Montgomery County deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address court today? All right, so seeing none, commissioners, is there anything that we need to discuss before we adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.